It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Oh, your worship!
G'day, Mikey. How you going?
Hello, Phil. How are you?
I am very good. I'm very good. The sun is shining through the window of my office, and I'm feeling... I saw my first pahutukawa tree flower yesterday.
Yeah! Freedom! I know what you're saying.
It was really bad for me. I thought, shit, I've got another 6 weeks of hard work to do. I can't afford to think about Christmas yet, but it was lovely to see it.
It's one of my favourite things in the whole wide world, that. Hey, you've got a couple of days to sort out this America's Cup. What's happening?
Yeah, it's a big issue. Look, I think most Aucklanders would like to host the America's Cup here, and I'm part of that. You know, look, if Tauranga could do it better and more cheaply and it was more suitable, good luck to them. Be happy for it to stay anywhere in New Zealand. Wouldn't want to see it go to Italy. So what have they asked of us? They want to have the infrastructure that they can put the team base up on. And so we had council officials and associated and central government officials go through all of the options all over Auckland, everything from Whangaparoa, you know, right down to the CBD. And we've come up with about three different options in the workshop we did. None of them are cheap. You're talking about anywhere between $150 and $200 million. And council's not going to be able to meet that on its own, nor should it.
Has central government committed to a certain percentage of that, or to?
I've had my first conversation at 10:15 last night with a central government minister.
So what's the answer, Phil?
The answer is they need to get their head around it, and we've got two decisions to make. Essentially, one is, what is the location that we could put a team base up on? We don't build the buildings, we simply create the base. But as I say, that's quite expensive. And there's a whole lot of other infrastructure spend that we need to do and bring forward around the waterfront as well. So the first thing is, where should it be based? The second thing is, how is that cost divided up? Now, you know, why bother do it at all will be the first question that some people ask. Well, the economists have told me that probably it's worth about $500 million to $1 billion to New Zealand. And, you know, the government would say, well, look, most of that benefit comes to Auckland because that's where the jobs will be created. And my response is, hey, most of the benefit goes to government because you get all the GST and the company tax and the income tax.
Was that the argument?
GST. So you know, we have to have, there'll be a calm and considered discussion between us about that.
But if we don't do it by a certain time, then for some reason it goes to Italy. How does that work?
What Team New Zealand is basically saying is we've got a drop-dead point of the first teams want to arrive mid-2019, so whatever needs to be built by then. And each of the different proposals have different timelines. The one that I actually prefer, which is a dispersed option but around Halsey Street Wharf, could be done probably 8 months quicker than the extended Halsey Street Wharf.
Where does your choice come in budget-wise?
It comes in about $41 million cheaper. So naturally, I'm very keen on that. I don't know what flexibility there will be with Team New Zealand, but I hope that they go into it with an open mind as well. What they really want, they want a village atmosphere, so they'd like it all on the one slab of concrete. And what we're looking at is it's all in the one area. East side of Wynyard Point Wharf, the Halsey Street Wharf, slightly extended, and Hobson Street. And I'm hoping that they will give fair consideration to that option. But at the end of the day, it's their decision. They can choose to put it in Italy, they can choose to put it in Auckland. Most of us want it to be in Auckland, but we want to make sure that the proposals are economically and environmentally acceptable.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is any building, any adding to the present structures on the waterfront, how can the ratepayers be certain that's not just going to put a whole bunch more crap into the harbour? Because I know everybody be trying to be really careful, but, you know, when you're under pressure to get it done, and people...
Well, I'm looking out the window now where the Team New Zealand base was last time, and it's already got a approaching a three-story, and it'll go up to five- or six-story hotel on it. So what we used last time...
I'm talking about just the just the wash-off into the harbour, just the building materials
No. Look, anything that happens down on the wharf has to be done to the highest possible standards, and this hotel that's going up where the Team New Zealand base was, I've been down, I've inspected it, they haven't had any issues with...
But if we're going to be adding to the wharves, like say for any of those options, that the any of the four options that are sort of on the cards, you know, it's we're going to have to be very careful how much... We're just going to have to be very careful we don't mess up our harbour, which is... isn't entirely in its best condition. It could be... It's not the worst, but it could be a lot better.
It could be a whole lot better, And we've got a whole lot of money we've got to spend on that in terms of stopping wastewater going into our harbour. That's our primary concern, and that's a big ticket item as well. But that's a priority for me. It's something that I believe that we should do. Hey, look, I don't want to build wharves out into the harbour to store cars on or containers on. I am happy to have a site that can be used for something like the America's Cup. And, you know, whatever we spend, look, who knows how many times we win it. If we win it, the first time, you know, in 2000 it cost quite a bit of money, tens of millions of dollars to build the facilities. The next time around it cost almost nothing because the facilities were there. So if we win it three times, that cost gets spread out over three different events, and the upside is hugely over the downside. But we want to do it in a tasteful way, and you know,
I think most of Auckland would probably agree with you in regards to that. So I mean, so when do we sort of decide?
Well, we don't have a hell of a lot of time.
No.
If we're going to do this, we need to start putting resource consents in January, beginning of January, and there's a thing called Christmas in between now and then. Talking to the minister last night, we want to keep to that time frame because there's got to be a process that people can make submissions on and have their voices heard on, but it can't be a process that drags out over 2 years because otherwise we're just wasting our time and we've lost the opportunity. So it's got to be a balance between those things, and we've got to look at what other uses you could have for the infrastructure. You know, if they did have the extended Halsey Street wharf, would that be able to be used, for example, for cruise liners where we've got a massive shortage? And that's not clear at the moment. What other sort of marine sporting activities would this be available for? Of course, the Volvo around the World Cup that comes every 2 years. What can we do for other marine sports? What sort of facilities can you create? Recreational facilities, public open space out there. All of those things need to be gone through, but they need to be gone through pretty quickly because time's not on our side.
All right, so a fortnight ago you met with Ardern, the Prime Minister, Twyford, the Phil, and Robertson, the Grant, to discuss the future of the town of which you were mayor. That's quite hanging out with the old crew.
Yeah, look, it was a good discussion, and there are some really positives, I think, that the new government brings in. I mean, they bring in a commitment to affordable housing, which I hugely welcome because... Too many people in Auckland are really struggling with the cost of housing. A whole generation of people think that they never have the chance to own their own home here. So I welcome the commitment to affordable housing. I welcome the commitment to eliminating child poverty. I welcome the commitment to light rail. So those are positives. But, you know, you've got to look at the other side of it too. This government won't be any different in the sense that they don't have a money tree that they can rattle and the money will just fall off into our hands. They have the commitments. They, they have a shared objective with Auckland that I think is really valuable. But they've still got to find the money to do everything. So just like the last government, I'm going to work professionally with them. We'll have our agreements. We'll have our disagreements. I'm there to advocate for Auckland. That's my job, not to necessarily make life easy for any government, and their job is to do their job and to be fair in how they deal with Auckland alongside all the other parts of New Zealand. So I think it was the start of a really positive relationship, and I really look forward to working with the new group. They've got a fresh set of eyes. They've got strong commitments in areas that will help the city, but we've still got some major challenges that you have to meet, that any government has to meet, and part of that's in how do you fund a whole lot of things when the demands are far greater than the funding to do them.
Does the vision of the Labor Party with Phil Twyford's as the Minister of Housing, does he have the ideas that he wants to put forward, does that sort of tinker with the unitary plan that you guys have spent so long trying to lock down and keep on track?
He's got a view that he's expressed for quite some time, that we shouldn't have any rural-urban boundary. And what's behind his thinking on that is, as soon as you put a rural-urban boundary up, the houses on one side of the line, or the properties on one side of the line, are 10 times more expensive than on the other side of the line. But there are other factors you've got to build into that. You see, we've zoned plenty of land for housing, 422,000 sites over the next 30 years. But land that's zoned for housing isn't housing ready until you put the infrastructure in. And there is a limit, however you might raise the finance, there is a limit on how much infrastructure you can build, and you need to sequence it and you need to prioritise it. And if you open up and don't have a rural-urban boundary, that means, theoretically at least, you could have developments springing up all over the place that you simply don't have the capacity to service with infrastructure. So there's a bit of work that I think needs to be done between council and central government on what he's proposing there and how he might go about it. You know, I think he starts off with goodwill and with the intention to do things that'll make houses more affordable to develop and more affordable for low to middle income people, and I'm all in favour of that. But, you know, like any idea, there'll be some good sides to it, there'll be some unintended consequences, and we need to work through both sides of that before we can find the proper landing place.
Speaking of unintended consequences, what about by banning foreign ownership of residential properties? What's the plan if suddenly all these overseas investors start buying our commercial properties?
Well, I'm not so worried about the commercial properties. I'm worried about.
Hey, say that now.
Yeah. What I'm worried about is, Joe and Josephine Blow going out to buy their first home and having to compete with people that have access to large sums of capital at low interest rates from overseas, who can outcompete them at every auction. So that's what I'm worried about. But look,
isn't that the same though? The commercial properties, we end up suddenly all the landlords and all the people that people are renting space off for shops people are renting the place off for apartments.
Yeah.
Are all based overseas as well? Isn't that potentially a major flaw of
No. Let me just focus. I'll focus on two areas. First of all, any foreign money that wants to come in and build big hotels here, like Fuwa, they're spending $800 million on providing 5-star hotel accommodation in New Zealand. I welcome that.
Me too, but that's at the top end of it, though, isn't it?
That's at the top end. Now come down to the rental area. I had a discussion in London a couple of weeks ago with a guy who's a Kiwi, expatriate Kiwi, who has a multi-billion dollar firm in Europe that's providing build-to-rent apartments. You know, the sort of style of things in Germany, where you don't just rent an apartment off mum and dad investor who might sell it 3 years later and you've got no security of tenure. This is where you build rental so people, if they choose, can live there a lifetime. Yeah. They've got security of tenure.
They can
alter the place to suit their needs as long as they have the permission of the owner to do it. And yeah, I really want to have these sort of investors come into New Zealand and add to the amount of capital that's around to build a whole lot more rental properties so we can keep the price of rental properties down. So I think that's a good thing. And Phil Twyford's proposal is not going to stand in the way of that sort of development. I mean, one of the things that it separates out, it says, if you want to be a foreign investor, don't come in and buy and compete for existing properties. That forces the price up, but that adds nothing new. If you want to come in and build new properties, because that's what Auckland needs.
All right, Phil, hey, thanks very much for talking to us. Speak to you again this time next week.
Okay, good to catch up with you, mate.
Bye, take care.
Have a good day.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goth.